afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Elodie Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today's Tuesday, December 5th, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Well, it was a crazy day in the markets today, and you know, we're seeing a little bit of turnaround. And yes, it went down once again in gold, but came back from the lows once again, just like it did yesterday. But the markets also reversed, and there's a couple of things out there floating that could have some major impacts on these markets and the confidence, not only here but around the world. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. We have gold down 870 today at 1267.90. Silver was down 20 cents today at 1620. Platinum down 9 at 920. And palladium was down over 1%, a little over 1%, down $10 at 986. The USDX today was up 0.21 at 93.32, along with crude oil being stronger by 14 cents at 57.61. And the paper markets took a reversal. You had the Dow down 110 points at 24,179. The NASDAQ was down 85 points at 6,762. And the S&P was down 10 points, 2,629. 10-year yield, 2.23. I'm getting my numbers all transposed here. 10-year yield, 2.36, down 0.02. And the euro was 118, down 0.05. And there was just a couple of reports out today. You had the U.S. trade deficit. That soared today. It widened in October to a nine-month high on record imports. And this was out later today by the Commerce Department. And some of the key takeaways, the surge in imports probably reflected merchants preparing for the holiday shopping season. That's what they say. Good excuse. Consumer good imports increased almost. Usually your consumer, I mean, this is for October, I'm sorry, but most of your Christmas purchasing for merchants is usually done way in advance of October. So they could say it, but I wouldn't buy it. But consumer goods imports increased almost $800 million, including a $303 million gain in cell phones and other household goods, as well as more inbound shipments of furniture. Can't have too much furniture out there, ladies and gentlemen. Appliances, toys, and clothing. But it could also be the building of new apartment buildings and so forth. Could also mean an increase in appliances and furniture. Plus, you have all of that, particularly those two areas, the hurricane situation in Houston, all of that had to be replaced. And so the shortfall in goods and services trade, if sustained, may weigh on economic growth. Let's see if there's anything else in there worth mentioning. After eliminating the influence of prices, blah, 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 the trade deficit increased to $65.3 billion, also the largest since January, from $62.2 billion in the prior month. Petroleum gap narrowed as pickup in exports exceeded gain in the imports. Here we go. Merchandise trade deficit with China grew to $31 billion from $29.9 billion. A gap with Mexico expanded to $6 billion from $5.1 billion. So, interesting. I'm not sure what it all means. I'm not even sure if it's what the impact would be. I think it is. I think it is serious if this happens. And we've had warnings already from the Arabs, from Turkey, from a lot of places where Trump's hadn't signed the waiver about Jerusalem and moving the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem. And
U.S. embassy to Israel.
He's going. There's been a couple of reports. He talked to several leaders I guess the waiver was due last week. He didn't sign it. Supposedly he made calls, and again, fake news, who knows until it actually gets done. There was calls to a couple of countries where he was saying that he was going to move the embassy. And now this report from Bloomberg, but this was an early one. This is at 12 noon. Well, it was updated 15 minutes ago, where Donald Trump will sign a waiver delaying the move of the U.S. Embassy in Israel to Jerusalem from Tel Aviv while declaring the contested city the capital of Israel. Reports that Trump would unilaterally declare Jerusalem to be the capital and begin moving the embassy there fueled the warnings from Middle East and European leaders, saying it would undermine peace efforts and potentially generate protests across the region. The president is pretty solid in his thinking on the issue, White House spokeswoman Sarah Sanders said, and will make an announcement tomorrow. The president's decision to sign the waiver would be in keeping with moves by his predecessors going back 20 years under a federal law that declares an undivided Jerusalem to be the Israeli capital. So he did call the Palestinian president, Abbas. He talked to Jordan's King Abdullah today to tell them of his decision. Both governments said Trump told their leaders that he intends to move the embassy. There were no timelines that were provided, and there was a lot of warnings coming around from everywhere. So I'm not sure this is the right time to pick that fight, but you know, he is pro-Israel, and from, you know, comments that he's said during this campaign and so forth. So, and we certainly know his son-in-law is plays an important role, probably in those decisions. And so it'll be interesting to see if and what happens. And so.
Well, it's another one of these. You know, I get the feeling that the tide has turned, at least temporarily, for Trump. He was getting so much criticism, most from basically the moment he took office, if not before. Everybody's been chasing him. Threats of impeachment, the investigation by the FBI, one thing another going on. I get the impression that things are turning and Trump is beginning. People are becoming aware that Trump is actually accomplishing a few things. He's been able to shed most of the criticism like water off a duck's back. And I get the feeling that Trump is kind of he's kind of on a roll right now. He's got a ways to go before he becomes, you know, really popular with the American people again. But it seems that he's seen the bottom and is headed back up, at least for a while. And Jerusalem is another one of these items. You know, Trump has a funny way of being successful at things. He talks about the art of the deal. I don't know if he succeeds. At least he has the appearance of success, maybe more so than is deserved. But still, he seems to win conflicts. He doesn't seem to get into things if he can't win them. And he just, I don't know what's happening exactly, but I get the feeling things have turned. You notice that? Well, you share that opinion, or you think he's still in trouble?
I think from the people, you're talking, hey, you know, have you ever seen the majority of the American people have a strong conviction, except us conservatives, that has a strong conviction and actually follows through for longer than a couple of months? I mean, so I think the tide has changed.
That was back in the old days. That was true in the old days, Melody. Nowadays, it's a couple of hours. You go viral, you hit over a million hits, and in the first 24 hours, that's as big as it gets, and then it's forgotten.
So I think, yes, you've seen the tide change as far as the people that were, you know, he's not my president, and, you know, they'll still tweet. So I think you've seen that calm down because it's been a year. They're not going to go 4 years doing that. And it's,
well, they would if they could get away with it.
I don't think so.
But the truth is, they're wore out.
They wear out.
I think what wears them out, it's like this business about Trump colluding with Russia during the election. it's turning out that no, there was no such thing. This was a big thing, and the liberals, the leftists, whoever you wanted, however you want to describe them, they put a lot of energy into, oh my gosh, Trump was colluding with Russia. No, turns out he wasn't.
I think you also see a little bit of a difference since Kelly has been in there. I think you've seen more organization from within. I do believe there was, I don't think that it was there when Bannon was there, and I don't believe it was there when Priebus was there. But I think Kelly made a difference.
I think he did too. And part of the reason for that, I don't think Trump's fired anybody for at least a couple of weeks now. I mean, for a while there, he was bringing people into the White House, and they were hanging around for maybe 6 weeks before they got canned. I'm exaggerating to some extent, but he fired a number of people. Now it seems like it's stabilized. I haven't heard much about people being fired from the White House, at least not in the last month or two.
So I think Kelly really went in there, took over, took control, and really is running the things the way it should be inside there. You have a stock market that is hitting all-time highs.
Yep.
No, not too many people are going to complain or do anything as long as that's happening. There are some things that are getting done and so forth. But you also have a tax reform bill going through. They're actually working, trying to get that done because we have an election year next year. So, yeah, you're going to have a lot of vocals become a little more silent because of an election year next year. They're really feeling out, you know, the Democrats are feeling out, well, you know, is, you know, what are their chances because of, you know, Trump? You know, they might be a little more quiet if their constituencies are leaning more to the right and, you know, on certain topics and issues. So I think you're seeing a lot of, so there's a lot of things that I think that are coming into play. But, I saw a headline. And I think, too, with these investigations, you know, the headline today was something about Mueller. He was, it was from the Wall Street Journal. The Wall Street Journal is probably one of the, of all the magazines, newspapers, probably the most conservative of them all. Maybe not so much as they used to be, but still, they talk about his credibility problem. And this is coming from the Wall Street Journal. So,
Trump's credibility problem?
I was reading it, Mueller's credibility problem.
Mueller's credibility problem. You know, another thing that's happened to the left is that they are in the process of dumping Hillary and Bill. And you can't very well, what fueled much of their anger, apparent anger, against Trump was the fact that he beat Hillary in the election. And you can't complain about Trump beating Hillary if you're going to dump Hillary. And it seems like the Democratic Party is beginning to back away from Hillary. They are recognizing that she is not going to be helpful to winning another election, and or at least that's their opinion for the moment, and that they're just backing away. And insofar as that's true, where is the energy to complain about Trump if you don't like Hillary? So I think it's another one of the factors into the idea that Trump is gaining traction and... he's hitting a high note, at least for the moment.
And I think, too, you have this going on with Flynn. I think with Flynn, for whatever reason, he was a scapegoat. There's somebody they can blame, they could pin it on, they could, so Manafort wasn't the thing. They came up with something else, his money laundering and something else. And I had to laugh. One of his, for his bail, Manafort, from what I understood, Manafort, for his bail, he couldn't communicate with anyone that is Russian, and he couldn't drink. And that was for his home arrest, you know, so he wouldn't have to be in prison and for his bail. What did he do? He went and he started writing an op-ed and having communications with various other people that he wasn't supposed to have communications with. And I'm thinking, how stupid can you be? I mean, do you get to this point where you think you can do anything?
Yep.
Now, they were going to go after and see if they couldn't get the bail repealed or whatever you call it for bail revoked. And I don't know if they did or not, but I mean, they do. You get to a certain point with this wealth that they think they can do anything. And so now we'll see if they've been able to.
Yeah. It's not that it's not a misunderstanding. I think they really do think they're above the law, at least if you get to a certain level, and they think they can do anything they want and get away with it. And it's not just an illusion, an anomaly, a temporary phenomenon. It is, we are beginning to see what has been a standard way of thinking for a considerable period of time, and now it's starting to break down. And people are going to say, oh my gosh, you mean I can't sexually harass my secretary or my staff anymore? Has it come to that? Well, yeah, maybe it has. And that's not the only thing. That's just one of the jokey, in a sense, they can't get away with certain things anymore. They recognize. I'd say I would bet you that virtually everyone in Congress and the Senate is walking on eggs right now. They understand. I doubt if there are any of them. I doubt if there are many of them that have a clean record that you can't, that there, I would suspect that all of them are, almost all of them, a significant number, maybe even a majority, that's what I'd say, a significant number, maybe even a majority, they, oh my God, I hope that woman I met down in Atlanta doesn't say anything, doesn't bring that up. I mean, it was 5 years ago, but I don't want to, I sure hope I don't hear about that. I'd say they're all walking on eggs right now and wondering if they're going to get run out of office because of something they did 5 or 10 years ago.
What I don't understand is there was a new accuser against Conyers.
Yep.
And Hand Up Phi and Church. I mean, if somebody put their hand on my thigh in church, I would have slugged the heck out of them, you know, and everybody would have known at that point in time.
That's why you don't have a job with the government, Melody.
I mean, come on. But anyway, I guess he is stepping down, and I think he wants his son to take his seat.
Yeah, he's recommending his son to take his place.
Good grief.
Then he can probably keep the same staff with his son. I don't know. He's got to be 70? Younger than Conyers. He's 88, so his son is probably in the neighborhood of 50 to 60 years old, is a guess.
Yeah. But another interesting thing, doesn't mean anything, but Russia's banned from the Winter Olympics. Russia's Olympic team has been barred from the 2018 Winter Games in South Korea. The country's government officials are forbidden to attend. Its flag will not be displayed at the open ceremony, and its anthem will not sound. Any athletes from Russia who receive special dispensation to compete will do so as individuals wearing a neutral uniform. And the official record books will forever show that Russia won 0 medals.
Well, I'd be interested in talking a little more about that, but we'll have to wait until we get done with the commercials. Pardon me?
We'll tell you why when we come back.
Good. Melody and I will return in a moment. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on shortwave radio. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Let's see. 1-800-375-4188. Great specials today with the drops that we've seen in both gold and silver. We got some nice pricing on some 1 ounce silver rounds that are coming in. And of course, we always have the silver eagles and all of our gold. Mint State 62 $10 gold pieces along with $25 face value of brilliant uncirculated peace dollars. We'll have a new price on that here in just a little bit. So prior to the break, we were talking about Russia being banned by the International Olympic Committee after they completed their prolonged investigation. And it's been known for a year, for more than a year that it's been going on, handed Russia penalties for doping. So severe, they were without precedent in Olympics history. The ruling was the final confirmation that the nation was guilty of executing an extensive state-backed doping program.
Was this in collusion with Trump?
Might be. Now the sports world will wait to see how Russia will respond. Some Russian officials have threatened to boycott if the IOC delivered such a severe punishment. Although Putin seemed to predict a boycott of the games with a defiant dismissal of the doping scandal and a foreign policy in recent years that has centered on the premise that he has rescued Russia from the humiliation inflicted on it by the West after the collapse of the Soviet Union. That's pretty much it.
What I'm curious about, and I won't ever get an answer to it, I don't expect one anyway, is this, do you think this is really just the Olympic Committee, the International Olympic Committee, is it just them, or are they being influenced by the United States and essentially prodded into doing this? I think the United States is just watching from the sideline, or are they active in trying to get Russia bumped out of the Olympics?
Well, you know, there was a deal in, when the past Olympics with Russia and so forth. So it's kind of been like an ongoing thing, I believe. And there was something with, I can't recall off the top of my head, with Obama and Russia and the Olympics. So I really don't know. I mean, if it's,
I don't either,
if it's,
and I don't,
if it's government,
to find out.
Yeah, if it's government sanctioned, you know, if it's state-backed doping program where the dope's coming from, you know, I don't know how they would ever prove that, but I mean, that's pretty significant. I guess if you have an individual athlete who's out there doping himself and so forth, that's one thing. But if this is state sanctioned and getting, you know, the athletes are getting the dope from, you know,
no, I don't know that that's what that means.
But I don't know if that's...
That doping, I'm not sure what they mean by doping.
Steroids,
but it,
I would assume.
Pardon me?
Steroids, I would assume.
Maybe, but in the back of my mind, I think when they talk about doping, they are saying that people are taking a pint or two of their blood, and they're siphoning it off. They're pulling it out of their own body. They put it in the refrigerator, keep it cool for a couple of weeks, and then they inject their own blood back into their veins, and instead of operating on 6 or 8 pints, whatever it is in the typical body, they wind up having an extra pint or two of blood in their body at the time of the contest. And it's not drugs in the sense that, you know, they're taking steroids or who knows what, speed or something like that. They're just putting their own blood back into their body, and then the result is they have a higher quantity of blood, and they believe that this gives them, they can bring more oxygen into their cells, they can do a better job, and so on. That might be what they're talking about, and I'm not absolutely sure that's true, but it might be. It would. How do you prove that? You know, it's one thing to take it, assuming that's even correct. I don't know that's correct, but it's hard to imagine that Russia did something on a widespread basis that could be detected. It's hard to imagine that Russia's that dumb. I mean, if you're going to take steroids, it may be that they've got some special steroid, but you can't bet that whatever special steroid you have, it might not have been detectable with the tests they used 2 years ago or 4 years ago or whatever, but you can't guarantee that they're not detectable now. And any other substance you put into your blood or whatever, you have to assume that it's going to be discovered. It was just, it's stupid. It's like, you know, thinking you can do a little coke or whatever the night before you're going down to get a job at the police department. They're going to find out about this, my guess. And the same thing with Russia. The doping, if I'm right, and the doping is merely they take some of their blood out of their body, and their body builds it back up over the course of the next several weeks or a month, and then they add it to. If that's all they're doing, how do they tell? How can they tell unless somebody reports it? How can they tell that you've got more blood in your body than is natural if it's your own blood? I mean, it surprises me. It sounds like. I'd like to see the evidence. You know, I'd like to know more. This is hard to believe that Russia thought they could get away with some sneaky stunt. Maybe they did, but just stupid if they did. And if they didn't, if they weren't stupid, then it's evidence that someone is just intentionally trying to humiliate them. Probably Cuba. Maybe Cuba is trying to get even with Russia. Or maybe it could be the United States, too.
When I just think of doping, I don't think of weights. I just think of, you know. But whatever it is, it's not natural. You're changing your... I don't know.
How do you detect it? So in any case, maybe we'll find out more. And if we do, we will add to our commentary. What's next, Melody?
Oh, really? I think that's about all that I thought that I found interesting today, other than the drop. I guess there was another sex allegations going on, and Roy Moore he's really kind of doing pretty good. I saw an interview of the 17-year-old that he was accused of dating when he was in his early 30s, and she found some Christmas card or something like that from him. What was interesting is she sat there and she says, "We dated." She says, it wasn't like he did anything wrong.
Yeah.
She says, "We had a relationship. We dated. I approved." He didn't do anything wrong. But she was 17 and he was in his early 30s, so... I don't know what to think of it, but
you're going to be accused of crimes, fine. If you've committed crimes and they catch you, fine, pay the price. If it's not a crime, it's just socially outside the normal social values, then I don't know, is that cause? And on top of which, you know, the fact that someone may have done something 10, 15, 20 years ago.
That's 40 years for
right, 40
sake.
Years. 40 years ago, and we still hold them accountable for that. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't necessarily, but I'm saying there's, all right, come on. Some of the stuff you can just kind of get over and get on with your life. You can't necessarily attach great importance to some of this stuff. It happened a long time ago. You know, if we can all be convicted, there's a statute of limitations on most other crimes and offenses, and if you don't do it in a few years, if you don't prosecute, then you let it go. This is not just about an offense. This is being done for political purposes, or at least it seems that way in a lot of instances. Western Journalism published a little article. The headline was, "New Roy Moore Poll Signals Significant Shift in Senate Election." A CBS News and U Government poll published Sunday showed that the majority of Alabama Republicans do not believe the sexual misconduct allegations levied against Republican Senate candidate Roy Moore. It's a majority of Republicans. It goes on and says 92% of Republicans who don't believe the allegations, okay, so the Republicans, we are talking about Republicans who don't believe the allegations. We're not saying 92% of all Republicans. We're saying 92% of the Republicans who don't believe the allegations, which are apparently a majority. It might be 51%, so whatever you want to make of that. 92% of 51% is something like 45% of Republicans. But who don't believe, don't believe the allegations, blamed Democrats for the charges, and 88% cited the media as the driving force behind the allegations. All right, according to the poll, 71% of likely voters stated that they found the allegations against Moore to be false. 71%. Now, this is interesting from the perspective that people have tried to smear Moore with allegations of sexual misconduct. Not sexual misdemeanors, not sexual crimes per se, for the moment at least, sexual misconduct, all right, that took place a couple of decades ago. 71% are not persuaded by these allegations, even though they've come after more strongly in the media. All right, 71% of likely voters said that they stated that they found the allegations against Moore to be false. It's evidence that the mainstream media, despite all of the attempts to smear Moore, and maybe right, maybe wrong, I don't know, but nevertheless, their big horn for saying, oh, look here, look here, look here, look here, didn't work. 71% of the voted, likely voters in this case, they said, we're not buying it. And that's all by itself, that's kind of extraordinary, because it indicates that the mainstream media is not as influential as it would like to think. They can't just stand up there and keep hitting something day after day after day after day after day and make people believe it. The propaganda isn't working. Now, they can make some people believe it. I get that. You know, you can fool some of the people all the time. But this is going to take... This is taking some of the wind out of the sails from the left, the Democrats, the liberals, whatever, who apparently thought that they could change public opinion by just hammering, using the mainstream media to hammer ideas to the public. And it turns out, well, maybe it doesn't work. And if that's the lesson here, then we're going to see less of that. We're going to see the mainstream media begin to mind its manners again and perhaps avoid propaganda and actually return to journalism, where they try to show both sides, try to report just the facts. Here's what happened, date, time, and what happened and what was done, who was responsible. Just do journalism rather than political propaganda, which is biased. So, I don't know. Do you think mainstream media has worn out its ability or its inclination to do propaganda, false news, biased reporting? You think that's going to be diminished significantly now, Melody, or you think it's going to be business as usual for another year?
You know, if the story changes and so forth, I mean, there was a gentleman that did fake news on Friday. He got called on the carpet for it. I think he lost his program, but he's still reported. He's still working. So any of this bad reporting and so forth.
You're talking about the guy, the senior over at ABC.
ABC, yeah.
He was laid off for a month without pay.
Ooh, and he'll be back to work.
Probably.
You know, it's...
Probably. But we'll see how it goes. But nevertheless, he's not, for a month, he's got nothing to do other than maybe write another book or go on the talk shows or something like that. But he isn't.
Everybody has such short memories that, you know, he'll come back on and, you know, and people won't remember what he did or, hey, why were you gone? And, you know, it'll be business as usual, Al.
Public won't remember, but if he has any controversy, he can't do it again. I don't think he can get away with it. And I don't even know that he intended to get away with it. Maybe it was just an honest mistake. But he's the guy who apparently reported that Trump and the Trump-Flynn connection was such. Flynn was going to testify that Trump was colluding with Russia during the political campaign. That would have been illegal. Turns out Trump did talk to Russia after he was elected, which is quite legal and standard. He did that. Everybody gets elected. They start building their bridges before they actually take office in January, and they start reaching out to different countries. Say, well, I'm the new president, blah, blah, blah. Want to say hi, shake hands, whatever, and let you know, whatever.
I think it'll be, the media will be shaken up during Trump's administration, because he's going to stay at him. That's not going to change. But when he's gone, who's going to... Who's going to follow through with what he's doing?
Trey Gowdy.
Not to the same degree.
I think Trey Gowdy. Trey Gowdy is the strongest presidential candidate we have on either party at this time.
Yeah, right? I like Trey.
I do too. I think, and I've seen some of his videos. I've watched him. You know, I'm not an expert on the man, the rest, that sort of thing. But nevertheless, he seems like the real deal to me.
Yeah.
And God help you if he comes after you. His years as a prosecuting attorney, you wouldn't want that guy breathing down your neck because he knows what he's doing and he knows how to do it. He's not just wielding a club. That man knows how to use a knife. He knows how to use an axe.
But it is true. Presidents come and go. But it's those other ones that are there for 20, 30, 40 years. That's the problem. And, you know, just, I didn't mean to talk, get away from Roy Moore, but, you know, I don't even have as much issue with him as I do with McConnell. I mean, he was so quick to jump to judgment. Oh, that man needs to step down and so forth. And then a couple of weeks later, he's there. Well, you know, we do need him in, you know, and, you know, he'll back him. I mean, it's just, you know, before you say something, know the facts. And then when you do say it, then stand by what you say. And McConnell is, I mean, he displays himself on a daily basis of just the problems that we have coming from D.C. Those are the ones that need to be replaced.
Well, I agree. They probably all of it, you could replace probably 90% of them, and the quality of legislation in the country would not be impaired. Might not get better, but it couldn't get much worse. We're going to take a break for a couple of commercials. Melody and I will be back in a moment on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value. value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hello, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk, and this is Financial Survival. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom. Got an article from Vox magazine, and the headline is "The Dollar General CEO Just Accidentally Made Clear How Screwed Up the Economy Is." Dollar General is a It's a store that has all sorts of little products that are available for a buck, all right? And it's kind of like, I can remember the 5- and 10-cent store back when I was a kid. I think it was Woolworths, but it was advertised as a 5 and 10. You could go in there and they have products and things that you could buy for a nickel or a dime. Huh? Well, this Dollar General is really, it's amazing that anybody has products that you can buy and sell for a buck. Huh? It's kind of surprising. It's hard to get a hamburger, a tiny hamburger at McDonald's for a buck. Dollar General has products for a buck. And here's the article says, here's a grim picture of the state of the American economy. The CEO of Dollar General explained to the Wall Street Journal why things are looking up for his company. Dollar General, with about 14,000 stores across the country and a $22 billion market value, targets customers making $40,000 a year or less. They are expanding, CEO Todd Vasos told the Journal. And why? The economy is continuing to create more of our core customers. All right? Income inequality has been growing for decades in America, with the biggest gains accumulating at the top and the middle class facing stagnation. That's what it says in the article. I say the middle class is not facing stagnation so much as perhaps extinction. Extinction would be, you know, it's not that bad. That's an exaggeration, but nevertheless, I don't think the middle class is just stagnating in the sense that it's holding its own. The middle class is diminishing. It's getting smaller, and more people are going into the lower class, the poverty, whatever, than are going into the upper class, and therefore business is good for Dollar General, who caters to people at the low income end of the spectrum in this country. So Trump has recently tweeted talking about 401ks, and he's tweeted that people who have 401ks, because the stock market is rising, they should check their 401k and compare it to where it was a year ago, and they'll see that they're ahead, right? Insofar as their 401ks are invested in the stock market, they're 10% ahead of where they were a year ago. And Trump wants to take credit for that, and I guess that's fine. I would be wary of taking credit for the stock market. From my perspective, it's not going to continue going up for, you know, the remainder of Trump's term in office. I think there's going to be a serious reversal in when it happens. If Trump is going to take credit for the success he's had, the stock market's had, over the last year, he's also going to have to take the blame if there's a major correction before Trump gets out of office, and I would, and even before the end of Trump's first term, and perhaps even next year. So I'd be wary about that. But in any case, Trump wants to take credit for it right now. And he's saying, look, the economy's getting stronger. There's more jobs. More companies are starting up. But Dollar General CEO says he's getting more of their core customers who make less than $40,000 a year. It seems to me that this report from the Dollar General CEO, it gives us a more accurate perspective on how the economy is doing than what we're hearing from Trump or from anyone else or from most people in the political system.
All right.
You're back, Melody?
No, I'm listening.
I got another one here from Cointelegraph. Max Kaiser. All right. He says, Bitcoin like Moses for gold. Russia Today's broadcaster, Max Kaiser, and most of you probably recognize Max Kaiser, former comedian, very intelligent guy, funny, intelligent, insightful, not necessarily always correct, but you know, none of us are. Max Kaiser is arguably one of Bitcoin's biggest advocates. He put a lot of money into Bitcoin, and I don't remember how much, but he did it a long time ago, when Bitcoin was pennies for coin. All right, maybe less, maybe a fraction of the pennies. And if I recall correctly, he put something like $25,000 into it back in the day. And he's got to be just giddy about the amount of whatever that's worth right now. And he has been a big advocate for big Bitcoin for a number of years, but he's beginning to get a little bit antsy. It says Matt Kaiser, arguably one of Bitcoin's biggest advocates, and has been bullish on his stance and predictions for Bitcoin's for the cryptocurrency's future. Kaiser believes that more mainstream institutional investors will be advocating cryptocurrencies sooner rather than later. We'll see about that. Bitcoin, like Moses, is parting the sea of derivatives for gold. That's according to Max Kaiser. Now, this is debatable to my mind. According to this article, Kaiser believes Bitcoin is going to change the way gold is being traded on Wall Street. He hit out at short selling and manipulation, which he insists is rife in current times. I agree that the short selling and manipulation is rife. I'm not convinced that Bitcoin is going to change the way gold is being traded on Wall Street, although it might, for all I know. But Kaiser goes on, he says, Bitcoin is helping gold by shattering the matrix of Wall Street that is incurring the naked short selling and financial manipulation that is going on in the futures gold market. I think that's given Bitcoin a lot of credit that it doesn't necessarily deserve. Whatever's going on with gold, I'm not convinced that Bitcoin is actually helping it. I'm not convinced that it's doing a lot of damage. I'm not sure that there's the relationship is really solid between Bitcoin and gold. He says, we're going to obliterate, and he's talking about Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, we're going to obliterate all the machinery that is killing the gold price. Bitcoin is like Moses, parting the sea of derivatives, and through the gap, the gold price will finally get to $2,000 or $3,000 an ounce, thanks to Bitcoin. I can remember Max Kaiser back 3-4 years ago predicting the price of gold could go to $25,000 an ounce. And now he's saying it could finally go to $2,000 or $3,000 an ounce. I think gold is destined to go to a price that's much higher than $2,000 or $3,000. Although Kaiser may only be referring to what the price could be in the next 24 months. All right. I'm saying within the course of the next several years, I think it's going to go to at least $5,000. It might go higher than that. Some people, you know, there's who can tell? You hear all kinds of numbers. But Kaiser goes back to Aristotle's definition of money. The Greek philosopher wrote that money must meet four characteristics. It must be 1, durable, 2, portable, 3, divisible, and 4, have intrinsic value. Kaiser says, like gold, Bitcoin also meets those conditions. And I think, what is he talking about? Where's the intrinsic value? Where is the intrinsic value of Bitcoin? And where is its durability? Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've got another article here.
Hey, let's just unplug the machines.
$50 million. They lost $150 million in Bitcoin, and they think they say in the article they think they might be able to recover it. I mean, they lost it. It wasn't stolen. They did something to one of their customers, one of the users, accidentally affected the program. And made $150 million worth of Bitcoin disappear. All right? No theft. Just somebody accidentally pushed the wrong button and bang, $150 million gone. Now they are saying, oh, we think we might be able to get it back. And I'm saying, look, you can't make $150 million worth of gold disappear. You can strike it with a nuclear weapon and you can vaporize it in the sense that you turn it all to dust and spread it all over, 5,000 square miles for all I know. But it's still there. It hasn't disappeared. You might be able to bust it up into almost down to a molecular level and spread it all out, but it's still there. It hasn't been destroyed. Now that's faint. I don't know, cause for celebration. Oh, my gold is spread all over, three states. But it's there. It is durable. It will survive. It doesn't rot. It doesn't rust. It will survive. $150 million disappeared for one outfit, and it's gone. They say they might be able to get it back. I don't know what Kaiser's talking about when he says, like gold, Bitcoin also meets those conditions.
All he's doing is mining new buyers.
Yeah, that's what he's doing. He's trying to support this stuff. I think he's defensive in the sense, we talked a little bit, we saw evidence of this in the last, I think yesterday we talked about it. Kaiser was making, maybe it was last week, I don't recall clearly, but Kaiser was making statements in support of Bitcoin that suggested to me that he was concerned that people were going to panic, bail out, and the price was going to fall dramatically. And I don't just mean back to 9,000. I mean the price could drop back to 2,000-3,000. Who knows where it could go to? I think Kaiser is concerned. He's playing a defensive game, trying to shore up the value of his investment. But come on. Bitcoin.
Hey, the cleaning lady comes in and unplugs this plug thinking it's her vacuum, and all of a sudden it all shuts up. Oops, that wasn't my vacuum.
I understand.
Oops.
He goes on and he says, the condition of scarcity is one that people have trouble with. They don't understand how you can have digital scarcity. But that is the genius of the protocol. It creates for the first time in history digital scarcity that is scalable and immutable. It fulfills all the characteristics of money. It does not. And we're talking about digital scarcity for the first time in history. We've only had digital computers to a significant degree in the last, 60, 70 years or something like that.
What is the digital scarcity? How can that be when everything on every computer is just ones and zeros? How do you determine that's scarce?
Well, they made it a rule that they would only issue so many
ones and zeros.
I don't know if it's 21.
But they're all done in ones and zeros.
But settle them. And besides that, you can change. Okay, we said it was going to be 21 billion bitcoins. I don't know what the number is, but we've decided to increase it to 25. Due to popular demand, we're going to have 25 billion. We're going to add another 4 billion bitcoin. I mean, what is to keep them other than a promise? It is no more immutable than the number of Federal Reserve notes that's out there. If people decide to change, we have X number of Federal Reserve notes in circulation in our money supply, and someone says, let's add another trillion. Okay, they add it. It's not immutable, and certainly these digital crypto coins, cryptocurrencies, they are not immutable. So I'm surprised. I mean, that strikes me as really, really strange coming out of Kaiser. It doesn't make sense to me, and I think it's evidence that he's concerned. Got another one from Cointelegraph, and the headline is, Happy $12,000. Bitcoin prices break another record in Epic Week. Bitcoin temporarily hit $12,000 and a $200 billion market cap on Tuesday before correcting as prices continue their remarkable week-long surge. This is the first time Bitcoin has passed the new barrier, having grown from $9,200 lows within a matter of days. Bitcoin's going up $1,000 a day, at least. It's astonishing. It's absolutely astonishing. By contrast, privacy-focused altcoin, Monero, it's another cryptocurrency, continues as the clear altcoin winner, an alternative to Bitcoin, advancing another 22% Tuesday to hit its own all-time highs of $240 per coin. I don't know what to make of it altogether, but look, you can't keep pushing Bitcoin up $1,000 a day. One way or another, this is just, it's going up like a rocket. It's going to come down like a stone. It's just got to happen. You can't continue to increase the investment price. Can't go up $1,000 a day. It is not rational, not reasonable, not really, and it's certainly not based on fundamentals. The only reason it's going up is that it's going up. And what I mean by that, the only thing that's pushing these prices higher is public demand for them. There is no fundamental. It's like the pet rock. You understand? Somebody back in the 1970s decided to sell pet rocks, and they sold smooth stones in cardboard boxes that had air holes in the box, and they had straw for bedding in the box, and you put the stone on the straw in the box, and you could buy one and send it to your friends. A pet rock. All right? It worked well for a little while, and then it just died. It was cute. It was irrational. There was no fundamental to support it. The guy who invented it, some advertising executive, he got rich off the deal, at least briefly, selling pet rocks. Bitcoin is like that. It's irrational. It's not even comprehensible, and that's part of the reason why people are so intrigued by it, because it's new, it's something we don't understand, but it's making more money, so we're buying it, and it's pure speculation. It's like lottery tickets. It doesn't make good sense, but here we are. It's happening. It is a phenomenon. You can't ignore it, but you can't find a foundation to support it either. We're out of time. Want to thank all of you for listening. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.
In my dreams.